Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be both encouraged and challenged to step into what God has in store for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Like Brenton was saying earlier, to come and worship together and to do life together, it is fantastic, and I thank God for his idea of church. All right, so I'm going to try to squeeze all this in the next half hour. It took me way longer last night, so hopefully I'll be able to squeeze that in. And so here we go. We've been talking, we started last week to talk about the resurrection, right? We celebrated Easter. And so what I had at heart, maybe a few months ago, was to talk about the need for us to experience the power of his resurrection. We're very familiar when it comes to the cross, right? Where Jesus dies on the cross, where he takes our sins, where he becomes the bridge, and we are restored, reconciliated with the Father because of the gift of Jesus, where he was the Lamb and is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we love this, right? Because this is where we experience freedom, right? When we think and when we look at the cross, this is where we are set free, where we experience that deep love of God. At the same time, there is the resurrection. And what does the resurrection mean to me and you? And I believe that we need to experience the power of the resurrection, that I need to know the power of the cross, but I also need to know and experience the power of the resurrection. So what I want to do in the next weeks, in the next so many weeks, we'll be talking about what does it mean to experience the power of the resurrection. And I believe it's going to be enlightening and it's going to be great. So I invite you to continue to come because it's all attached. I can't give it all this morning because it would take too much time. But I want to give you a little piece of it. And then we will go from there, laying the foundation today. And then we'll go more on specifics in the next week. So I just want to pray at this time. Father God, I thank you that you are in this place. I just pray that you would come and speak to us. I pray that our minds would be open to what you want to say and what you want to share to us. Father, I pray for the liberty to be able to preach and share what you've placed on my heart. So we choose to open up. We choose to receive your word. And Father, our desire is for you to bring us deeper and further in you. So we say yes to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bible, take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, a pearl when it comes to the epistles of Paul. Romans chapter 8 is amazing. And so what I want to give to you is a snapshot of what it is to live victoriously, victorious living. So let's take a look at verse 31. It says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's a beautiful verse, right? "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies." Verse 34, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Beautiful verse, right? That we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Awesome text, right? That talks about victorious Christian living. And the question I have for you this morning, why can I be more than a conqueror? When you think about being more than a conqueror, it's a huge statement, right? When you just look at the word conqueror, it means winning. It means to conquer a territory. It means moving forward. It talks about progression. It talks about moving forward. So this is what conqueror means. But it says here that we are hyper-conquerors in the Greek, that we're more than conquerors. That's pretty amazing, right? And sometimes it's hard to see ourselves as conquerors, right? When we look at ourselves and we look at our mistakes and we look at the struggles that we face, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to see ourselves as being more than a conqueror. Can you tell your neighbor that you are more than a conqueror? Can you do this? It's pretty amazing, right? It's even a little, you're a little shy to say it, right? Like, is this true or what? Can I say this? Like, is that really pride to say that, is it linked to pride to say that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me? No. Paul says that we are more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. So I believe it's important for us to take a hold of this truth, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that we are called to be winners. I don't think God has called us to be losers. That's a pretty good message, right? That God hasn't called us to be losers, that God has not placed a path before us, called us for a ministry or to have a fruitfulness to fail. God has never called us to fail. God has called us to conquer. God has called us to move forward. God has called us to be winners. And I think it's a mindset. It's something that we need to adopt. It's something that we have to let sit in our hearts, that God has called us to be more than conquerors. And how can I be more than a conqueror? What's the base for me to be more than a conqueror? Well, if you look at the text here, it says in verse 34 that who is he that condemns me? And a little earlier it says that it's God that justifies. For me to walk in victory, listen to this. For me to walk in victory, I need to know that I'm forgiven. I need to know that I'm forgiven. If I don't believe that I'm forgiven, if I walk in guilt and condemnation, I will never be able to walk in victory. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I need to know that the blood of Jesus is enough. I need to know that the work of Christ is sufficient, that I don't have to add works to it, that I am secure in him based on what Jesus has fulfilled at the cross, right? And when you look at Romans chapter 7, it talks about that when you accept Christ into your life, you get married to Christ, not to the law anymore. And the law is there to teach us that we need redemption. The law teaches us that we are sinners. The law teaches us that we have wrongs. And every time that, let's say you are focused on the law and you live by the law, every time that you step out or every time that you do a mistake, you get a slap because the law brings condemnation. And why the law is given? And Paul said that the law is good because it shows us that we need redemption. And Jesus comes in, and now we're not under the law, but we are in Christ, and we have this relationship with Christ. We're kind of married to Christ. And in chapter 7, he gives us this analogy, and he uses marriage as an example of how my relationship should be like in marriage. Because in marriage, it's based on love, it's based on serving, it's based on faithfulness, but it's not only because you signed a paper, right? Hopefully not, right? It's because of an inner commitment to the other, and that's what God wants when it comes to my relationship with him. So when it comes to living in victory, I need to know that I can because I'm forgiven. And I'm in this relationship with the Lord. I think that's huge. The second thing that I need to see is that I'm fused with Christ. Can you tell your neighbor that you're fused with Christ? And that's what it says in verse 34. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Some people will look at the word interceding and say, Jesus is praying for us. He's not really praying for us. He stands between us and the Father. And I'll go a little deeper. He represents us because we are fused with him. That's the beauty of it. Look what it says. Listen to this. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Meaning that in position, I'm where Christ is, and Christ is where I am. So that means that you cannot separate Christ from you. So it's like two metals that are fused together. And you can't separate the metal because they were melted together, right? So I'm one with Christ. So if Christ is in the heavenly realms, I am too. And if I am the valley of shadow of death, he is there too. I'm fused with Christ. So the authority that Christ has, it's the authority I have under him, right? So when it comes to living a life of victory, it's based on knowing and experiencing God's forgiveness. And secondly, it's to see myself being fused with Christ. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you see yourself fused with Christ? Do you see yourself being one with Christ? Do you believe that God dwells in you? Do you believe that God is closer to you than anything? So when I look at the cross, it frees me from my sins, and the resurrection gives me the power to live out my faith. So I need to have the cross, but I need the power of his resurrection. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So Paul says that we are risen with Christ. We died with Christ when we said no to live a life without his influence, where we submitted our lives to him, where we asked him to be Lord and Savior. So he says here, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, set your passion. When it talks about heart, set your passion above because you're fused with Christ. It just makes sense, right? In verse 2 it says, set your mind on things that are above, not on earthly things. In other words, set your focus on things that are above, not on things that are earthly. In verse 3 it says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. So you're hidden, you're fused with Christ. Beautiful picture. So when Christ is, who is your life, appears, then you will also, you will also appear with him in glory. So it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. So here we see that we are risen with Christ, and because we're risen with Christ, we're able to walk from the things of this world, not because of our own power, but because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us, right? So I'm fused by Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm one with Christ. And the third reason why I can walk in victory is because I'm loved by him. I think that's a huge component. In verse 37, it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I think that's foundational when it comes to life. Listen to this, if I can get your attention on this. When I know I'm loved by God, when I know that I'm loved by God, and I believe that I'm loved by God, that's my foundation. Whatever I go through, I'll be able to go through it because I know I'm loved by God, right? I don't want to live my life where I always question God's love for me. You go through hardship, well, God, do you really love me? And you base your circumstances, or you look at your circumstances, and they're the meter or the thermometer if God loves you or not. We compare ourselves with others. We look at how we would like to see life. Let's say when it comes to prosperity or health, and there's so many different things we would like to see in our lives. And there's nothing wrong to see the good, right? There's nothing wrong there. But the thing is, this is not a thermometer that shows if God loves you or not. I believe I need to know in my heart that he loves me, period. If I know this, if I know and I believe this, then I will be more than a conqueror. That I know first that I'm forgiven. Second, I'm in Christ. And third is that he will always love me. He will always be on my side. He will always care for me. He will never turn his back on me. He will always be there. It's like if one of my kids would come to me and say, Dad, do you love me? I would say, kid, I love you all my heart, but all my heart, right? It's the same thing. Father looks at you and says, I love you with all my heart, and I showed it by giving my son. It was not only words, right? So it's important for us to know this. It's important for us to go to bank with this, that he loves me. When you're going to get up tomorrow morning, you'll know that he loves you. And maybe your day will be rough. Maybe there's going to be some challenges, but that doesn't challenge the fact that God loves you. And I believe the way that you can walk in victory is when you know that God loves you. You know that God is in control. And the God that is in control has you in his sight, and he cares for you, and he wants your best. At the same time, he wants to reach this world, and he wants to see the kingdom of God progress as we do. So the thing is, I need to know that I'm his kid, and I don't want to doubt that. I want to rely on the fact that he loves you. And this is why it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, because we've been called according to his purposes. So we know that we're loved, and whatever we face, we know that we're loved by God. So it's so important to see yourself being forgiven. It's so important to see yourself being fused with Christ. It's so important to see yourself loved by God and be in that relationship. To be more than a conqueror doesn't mean the absence of challenges, right? So if you're more than a conqueror, it's because there's going to be some challenges. There's no point to be more than a conqueror if there's no challenge, right? So we say, yes, we're more than conquerors in him, but that also invoked the fact that we will have challenges, and there's going to be some issues, and there's going to be some things that we have to deal with. And the way I should deal with things, it's to know in my heart that I'm more than a conqueror. Listen. When you face things, how will you approach things? How will you approach challenges? Will you approach the challenges knowing that God is with you, knowing that you're more than a conqueror? I believe that's the approach that we should have. Whatever we face, God, I can conquer this. God, you have a way in this. I trust in your love. I will not park my car on discouragement lane. Okay? I won't park my car there. I might be tempted. I might be driving on that discouragement lane. But I can't park my car there because I am more than a conqueror, right? I like the story of David when he fights Goliath, right? 40 days, this giant came before Israel. Day and night, he challenged Israel. And day and night, people were afraid to respond or even to show up. No one wanted to stand before this giant. And you see the story of this the youngest of the family of Jesse bringing lunch or food to his brothers. And he hears this guy challenging the God of the Israelites. And he's offended. Say, who are you to challenge the God of the Israelites? So he goes to see Saul. And he says, you know, I'm going to go. And then Saul says to him, you can't go, you're just a boy. You know the story where he tries Saul's armor and it doesn't work? And then he has this argument or this discussion with Saul, and he says to Saul, hey, I've killed lions and bears, I can do this. And so the king got David to go, and he went with a sling, right? And he goes forward, and you know the story, the giant went down. And I like the verse that you find in 1 Samuel 19, verse 5, a beautiful verse. It talks about Jonathan is talking to his father Saul in view of David. And he says, have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant and how the Lord brought a great victory to all of Israel as a result? I love this verse because what is the greatest blessing is all of Israel experienced liberation. Right? That's the end of it. That's the vision. The vision is to see the progression of God's kingdom in the church, in my life, in my community. So that's what God wants. God had a plan to free the people. And I believe that God has a plan to free people too around us. God wants no one to perish. God wants to reach out. God wants to reach in. God wants to minister. So here you see the main attraction here also is that God, the Lord, brought a great victory, right? It's the Lord that brought the victory. And Jonathan expresses that. And we would agree with that, right? It's God that did brought this great victory. But look at the first part. David risked his life. David risked his life. He went forward in his calling. He didn't shy away. He stepped in. And when he stepped in, as a more than a conqueror, when he stepped on that battlefield that was before him, he stepped forward based on God's calling, based on God's leading. What happened is God brought the victory, and the benefit was for all. I like this. I like the step that David took. And I believe that we got to take the same steps based on God's leading. I'll talk more about that next week. But it's important for us to know that we're more than a conqueror. What David did in the name of the Lord, God brought a victory, and everyone benefited from that. And I think it's the same thing for us. So we are called to step forward. When it comes to challenges, God will give us the strength to go through. It's true. It said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And what Paul is saying here, he's talking about challenges that he faced. He talks about a lack of food, a lack of clothing, and all this. But he says, God is my strength in all things. And this is what we need to take a hold of. There's gonna be some challenges. There's going to be some mountains to climb. There's going to be things in front of us. But I need to adopt the mindset of a more than a conqueror. I need to adopt this mindset. That I'm not a wimp in God. That I'm not a loser in God. That I'm forgiven. That I'm fused with Christ. I'm loved with God. And also, I have the power of the resurrection. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead living in me. So that causes me to be victorious. And I can face the things that are before me. You know what? God will always provide a way out so you can stand up. Always a way out. Can you tell your neighbor, always a way out? I think that's fantastic. There's never a dead end with God. There's no cul-de-sac with God. You never arrive at one point, oh, there's a dead end. God, where were you? There's never a dead end with God. Never. Absolutely never. When you feel there's a dead end, it's not a dead end. God has a plan. God is bigger. Even when we screw up, even though we may be a victim of whatever, the thing you got to know that there's no dead end with God. You got to give God a chance. There's no dead ends. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. I like what it says, common to man, meaning that we all go through it. You're not the only one. And the enemy would like you to think that you're the only one. You're not the only one. It's common to man, okay? That we will be tempted, that we will be tested. There's going to be issues that will come our way. But look what it says. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Always bring a way out. I need to know that. Why? Because I'm a more than a conqueror through Christ, because I belong to him, because I'm forgiven, because I'm fused, and because I'm loved. Look what it says in Psalm 107, beautiful text that gives a picture of it. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and they lived ebbed away. Verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Look what he says in verse 7. And he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He led them in a straight way. That's my God. That's your God. And if I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I didn't talk about this one, but I'm just going to go back because I think it's important to see the picture. When it says being tempted, it talks about, in the original language, it talks about being brought into a valley. Where how they would do war then, they would push you into a valley, and then they would be surrounded by two mountains, like a kind of a small valley, and there's two hills, and the enemy would go on the hill to have vantage point, and then they would throw their arrows and they would kill you. And even if that's the case, God will find a way out for you. And here it says that he will make your path straight. And I think that's amazing. So I need to know that There's no dead end with God. I'm not called to live in defeat, but in victory. I'm not called to live in defeat, in victory. Like I said, we're called to win. We're called to move forward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run?" Usually that's the case, right? Call that a race or run. "But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize." Imagine if you would have runners and say, "Oh, I don't know, I don't want to win." Like, how many of you are watching hockey? What a thing, eh, this year? Unreal. Top four seeds are out. But the thing is, you expect the players to have a desire to win, right? Imagine if we'd come in the playoff and say, "You know what, we're not going to show up tonight." They might not show up, but they won't say it, right? But usually they show up, right? It's impossible to be in a race without showing up. And actually, Paul talks about later on that the athletes prepare themselves for that race. It's serious. They want to win. And Paul compares life like someone that is in a race. And you should run to win. I should run to win when it comes to my marriage. I should run to win when it comes to the church. I should run to win when it comes to my business and to whatever is before. Run to win. I should have that heart, that desire to move forward. You might say, "Well, Pastor, I tried once and it failed. I tried twice and it failed. I tried three times and it failed." I don't know why we stop at three. Right? I don't know why we stop at three. There's way more than three, right? I look at Edison. He failed 1,000 times before inventing the light bulb. 1,000 times. The 68-year-old South Korea woman who failed her driver's 950 times. But she passed! Woohoo! She passed. I'm called to run to win. The danger of fatalism, it's passive acceptance. Passive acceptance. "Ah, well, I tried. Try again. Don't quit. You are more than a conqueror. Come on. You are more than a conqueror. Your sins are forgiven. You're fused with Christ. God loves you. And you're empowered by the Holy Spirit." You know, I think a lot of things happen up here. Like they say hockey is a mental game. Well, I think Christianity is also a mental game. Really, it's what do I let settle in? I think sometimes I need to stop in life and press delete when it comes to the things I store up here. The lies, the unbelief, whatever it is, the past, the things that are not from God. I think we got to go through all each emails of our head and say, "God, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" And I think we would do a lot of deleting. And I think we gotta build our mind with God's word, and we gotta bring our thoughts captive in Christ. I think that's a huge thing, right? But there's a need to push through. Jesus says, "Ask, seek, and knock." Ask, seek, and knock. It always goes a little deeper. "Well, I ask." Well, have you sought? Have you knocked? And then Jesus talks about this woman that wants to have justice, and she knocks at the door of the judge. "Give me justice, give me justice." And the judge is not a believer to Jesus talks about. He gives this example about. And she's knocking, and he says, "Oh, okay then, I will grant you. What do you want? What do you want, right?" And God says, the Father is not like that. But there's a principle he was teaching them. It's to persist. To be more than a conqueror, not to quit, not to fade away, not to say, "I've tried," but to say, "God, that's right. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You've called me to win. You've called me to move forward. So God, I'll do this. I'll take a step forward." I look at the example of Zacchaeus that went up a tree. I look at Bartimaeus that cried, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I think about this lady that crossed the crowd and touched the garment of Jesus. I think about Anna that was barren and she poured her heart at the feet at the temple, and yeah, she went to the temple and she poured her heart and God answered her prayer. There is a need for persistence. There's a need to go further. There's a need to have the heart of a conqueror. And we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I'm called to bounce back. Get back on the horse. Look at Peter. Denied the Lord 3 times. You know, he could have taken his violin out. I'm awful. What I did was awful. Yes, it was. It was bad what you did. But there's redemption in Christ. I got to bounce back up. Right? I got to bounce back. And you got to bounce back. You know why? Because you are more than a conqueror. That's why you bounce back up. Because Christ is in you and Christ is with you. So you want to be able to bounce back. I think this is so huge. We want to start, like my desire this morning is to start fresh. 5 steps to start fresh. First one is don't embrace fatalism. Life needs faith. Can you say that to your neighbor? Life needs faith. I need to have faith. I need to trust in Him. I need to trust in Him. Life needs faith. You know, I can't just accept or live a passive acceptance. I need to change my mindset. I need to get back on the horse and say, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Secondly, don't give up. Sometimes we have to do some self-talk. Come on, Claude. Hey, get out of it. Well, you say, well, that's not biblical. Well, David did. May my soul bless the Lord. He didn't want to bless the Lord. He didn't feel like blessing the Lord, but he says, soul, bless the Lord. Like, come on, Claude, get back into it. Stop complaining. Stop being miserable. Stop focusing on yourself. You're more than a conqueror. God will make a way. Stay focused. Rely on me, and you'll see that I will pull you through, and I will make it happen. So I think that's really important. And the reason why we don't want to give up is because of the big picture. And it says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. When I lose the vision of the big picture, then I give myself the right to go on discouragement lane and park there. Right? Because I focus on my little story, and I forget that there's a big story going on, and I'm part of it, and God wants to use me in it. So I don't want to lose sight of the big picture. You get marital problems, you want to walk away from your marriage, you got to look at your kids. You got to look at your future grandkids. You got to look at the family tree. You got to look at everything that comes with it and say, before I do this, whoa. Come on, Claude. Whatever your name is. You know, come on. I'm not going to just focus on the immediate. I'm not just going to focus on what I see now. I've got to see the big picture. I got to see the big picture, all right? So don't give up. Thirdly, go to God and abide in Him. Abide in Him. It's easy to start, right? It's easy. Anybody can get married. But to abide, to grow in marriage, it takes sacrifice. It takes decisions. You need to make good decisions. It's easy to start a business, but to have it succeed, it's another story, right? But here we see in John 15:5 the principle of life to remain. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. He will bear much fruit, right? So this is more than a conqueror. It talks about victory. It talks about moving forward. And the only way you can move forward is that you remain in him. When you choose not to follow your emotion, when things get rough, you go to God. You go to his word. You let his word bring comfort and also challenge. And you go and you do listening prayer. God, what are you saying to me? What do you want to change? How's my perspective? Am I off? Am I in? Show me, Lord. You go before God and you abide there. And it's not just once, you abide there. And when you do that, I believe that the sap of the Lord will come in you and will produce fruits and you'll be able to make a difference and move forward. Number 4, don't despise the small beginnings. You serve a big God. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Take a stand and take a step. Take a stand in your heart and take a step. Take a stand and take a step. Take a stand in your heart. I'm not going to go on that road. I'm going to walk on that road because that's God's word. That's God's will for me, and I'm going to take a step toward it. I take a stand. I'm going to finish with that. I'm running out of time. But I need to make a stand. I need to take a stand. I need to take a stand with the perspective that I'm more than a conqueror, and then I have to launch and do the first step to come out of the boat, and God will be with you because you're forgiven, because you're fused, and because you're loved. I think it's so fantastic, right? So what we want to see is that we want to see the small steps. We want to do one step at a time. And it's hard in my generation when it comes to small steps. We want big now. We want the big house, the big trailer, the big truck, and we have a problem to grow and stuff, right? And it's hard. So here it talks about taking a step forward. Don't despise a small beginning. My last point here. Have someone in your life. Connect with someone. Have someone that you can, through a question, that will be honest and tell you the truth. Not someone that will always agree to what you're saying. Yeah, it's all good, it's all good. But someone that will speak to you and speak the truth in your life. I just want to end up with this, is that God has called us to be more than conquerors. God has not called us to be passive and to roll over and die. God has called us to be victorious. Amen? When I talk about being victorious, I'm not saying that everything will be peachy and you won't have any struggles, but I'm talking that you will be able to be on top of it, that you will be able to be the head and not the tail. To be the head and not the tail. We'll focus more on that next week. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Thank you so much for listening. Father God, I thank you for each person here. With all our eyes closed, like I do every service, basically. If you're here for the first time or you've been attending for a while, but you've never committed your life to Jesus, maybe you heard about Jesus when you were a kid, but you haven't followed him. You've parked your car on the discouragement lane because of things of the past. You've closed your heart up to God. But I believe that God is here, and he's got his arms wide open to you, and he says, son, daughter, let me in. Let me in. If that's you this morning, I don't want to drag it. I just want to give I just want to create this platform for you to say, God, I give you my life. Or God, I'm coming back to you. I'm opening the door of my heart to you. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise up your hand as a step of faith. Someone here. Hey. Yes, thank you. Up on the balcony. Awesome. Thank you so much for responding. Someone else? Lord, we give you our lives. We want to live for you. Come into my life. Come and dwell in me. I surrender to you my sins. I surrender to you my hurts. I surrender to you my past. I want you to be my Lord. You died on Calvary for me. I'm saying yes to this. And I want to live a life under you. I want to live a life under you. And maybe you're here this morning. And secondly, maybe you're here and you've thrown the towel in your heart. Maybe you're here, but inside you've thrown the towel. You're not living in victory. You kind of gave up. You're not on the horse. You've closed your heart up. If that's you this morning, I invite you to surrender your life to God and say, fill me with your spirit, Lord. God, I want to bounce back. I want to live with this mindset that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I want to walk in victory, Father. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to walk in what you have placed before me. I want to fulfill my calling. I want to finish my race. And whatever is in the way, Father, I believe that I can face it. I believe that I can conquer because I'm more than a conqueror through you. If that's you this morning, I just give you a moment just to say, God, do this in my life. Give me a fresh start this morning. Yes, Lord. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, we won't finish with a song because time is running out, but just want to bless you this morning. If you want prayer, we have a prayer room. And may you know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Thank you so much for coming. Blessings on you.
Thanks for joining us on the GMC podcast. For more information about what's going on this week, check out gmchurch.ca. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful week.